One way to watch Hillary Clinton's big economy speech today with middle-class families in mind. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Monday, Donald Trump drilled down on his planned economic policy. Today, also in Detroit, it's Hillary Clinton. David Madland is a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress and author of the book Hollowed Out, Why the Economy Doesn't Work Without a Strong Middle Class, which is the prism through which he'll be watching the speech in a bit over 3 hours from now.
The sort of key things I'll be looking for will be, is she talking on sort of both sides of what I would think about as the middle class squeeze? The wage side, does she have policies that really can help boost people's wages and incomes? And then does she have policies that can help on the cost side that are really hitting middle class families, especially on higher education?
What are policies that can boost wages? I mean, certainly as more people become employed and the labor market gets tighter, that can help.
Yes, that's definitely one. I think sort of the general economic growth kinds of themes and investments in infrastructure and things that go towards a tighter labor market will be key. But also, I think more direct intervention, things like raising the minimum wage, ensuring that workers have the ability to join together in unions, encouraging things like profit sharing so that when companies do well, workers also do well.
Is there some suspense here, do you think? Could the speech surprise you or disappoint you or delight you?
You know, I think what I most want to hear, in addition to sort of really getting down into the policy specifics, is contrast. And I think the themes of contrast between her policies and Donald Trump's policies, and more important, between, I think, the economic philosophy behind those policies.
Let me ask you about a key word that you brought up. If Hillary Clinton says infrastructure spending and then repeats the words infrastructure three or four more times in this speech today, there are going to be struggling American families who will hear that and say, what does infrastructure have to do with helping them?
What I would hope Hillary Clinton should try to do, and you know, Donald Trump has also been quite supportive of infrastructure investment as well, and what they should be trying to do when they're talking about infrastructure investment is to make the case about short-term gains as well as long-term gains that people will feel in their real lives.
David Madland is senior fellow at the Center for American Progress and author of the book Hollowed Out, Why the Economy Doesn't Work Without a Strong Middle Class. David, thank you.
Thanks very much for having me.
Now to the public radio word that describes this economy in so many ways. Bifurcated. Over there are business people looking sober, tentative. Over here are consumers clustered around the punch bowl. Tomorrow, more information on the latter group. Diane Swank is CEO of DS Economics in Chicago. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
So tomorrow we'll get some new data that will help us understand this, right?
Exactly. We're going to see retail sales tomorrow, and that's really important because the U.S. consumer really has carried the U.S. economy, most notably in the second quarter. It looks like they're going to continue to have some momentum as we go into the third quarter. Retail sales are expected to come in almost 0.5% up with a strong gain in vehicle sales. Prices at the pump have come down, but that's not a reason to worry. That's a reason for consumers anyways to cheer, but it doesn't help this conundrum we've been in, where consumers have been really strong and the business sector has been really weak.
What you wonder is if this can continue. How long can consumers keep being exuberant and staying out there spending if businesses just keep sitting there cautious?
One of the things we're very concerned about, consumers are fine. As long as they have jobs and wages are accelerating, they feel good. The problem is productivity growth actually fell in the second quarter. And businesses, that's a real blow to profit margins as wages are going up and creates tension for businesses to start firing instead of hiring.
And some of that is general uncertainty. You know, you worry about Europe. You worry about the direction of politics in America. And in that environment, there are people who run businesses taking this wait-and-see approach.
Uncertainty, as you said, spans the globe. Everything from policy uncertainty, geopolitical uncertainty, to actual economic growth weakening in places that had carried the global economy. All those things are keeping people from pulling the trigger on making that future investment.
Diane Swank is CEO of DS Economics. That's based in Chicago. Diane, always good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you as well.
And an interesting executive move from the world of online publishing. There's news today that Arianna Huffington is leaving the editor-in-chief post at the liberal-leaning Huffington Post, owned by AOL. She started a new venture called Thrive Global that fights workplace burnout. G Chattanooga, Tennessee has a relatively strong job market, another attraction, the extraordinarily fast internet that's available there. But neighboring communities who want that kind of speed will have to wait after a federal court decision this week. Marketplace's Jed Kim.
Chattanooga's fiber optic network was laid by its municipal energy provider about a decade ago. The utility did it at the same time it was improving its electrical grid. That investment has allowed it to provide faster internet at lower prices than commercial competitors, up to 10 gigabytes per second. The FCC had cleared the way for the utility to expand the service, but a federal appeals court said the agency overstepped. The decision also affects Wilson, North Carolina, which has its own fiber optic network as well, and it could have wider implications for municipal broadband. Access to high-speed internet has been touted as an inequality issue, with poorer and rural families less likely to get it. Opponents of expansion say it's more important to help private companies build and improve their networks.
All right, Jed, thank you. You know what's hurting profits at the fast food chain Wendy's? Those darn lower grocery prices, which the Agriculture Department says have been trending down this year so far. Wendy's profits came in lower than expected on Wednesday, with the company blaming a growing propensity for us to eat at home instead of eat out. Egg prices are down more than 26% in a year, beef down 6%. Wendy's stock was down 3% from before news of its profits, at least in early trading on Thursday. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.